labor problems until they do today. Guys just quit. Have to get somebody else. And when my brother got old enough, he went on the farm. And he got married, and that made it a lot better, but more continuity there then. Yeah. Well, both my uncles actually worked on the farm too for a while. Yeah, always had hired help around, somebody to help do the work. So. And I got pictures, maybe I showed them to you, there of someone.
What changes over time? So when you were young to today, what changes in the business have you noticed?
There's a lot of changes. That's nowhere near what. As I say, one thing now, you don't have to do the physical labor. Today, back then, there was quite a lot of physical. Used to go in the woods and you had to load the logs up skids by hand and that stuff. That was work. Cut the trees and get them out at the delim it, and bring the lumber back and stack it, pile it. It's all. Where today, you usually don't have your own lumber. You go to the lumber yard and all you do is bring it home and use it. But it's the physical work that's been taken out of it. I think it's probably been the biggest change and more into maybe more professional management type things of your money and where it goes and keeping track of it. Back then, they didn't have a lot of money coming in, so you didn't have to worry about tracking it because there wasn't any there to track. But they did have enough money coming in to survive and pay for the farm. But today, my dad paid $18,000 for the farm here when he bought it. And my mother couldn't sleep. He said to her, "What difference does it make? We haven't got anything anyway. To buy this farm and have what you got on it now with all the machinery stuff be over $1 million. That's been probably the biggest change. We got one piece of equipment that we buy. We paid more for that than my dad did for the whole farm and the cattle and equipment and everything on it back at that time. And that's probably been the biggest change. Another big change is the labor part and the amount. Dad usually used to have one. He always had one hired man and always had kids around to help. Now we have, my son runs a farm. And he has two hired men. Back then, they milked 40. He milked about 40 cows. I can't tell you how much milk they put out by the end of the year, but now he milks about 150 and puts over 2 million pounds of milk out in a year. So the production per person on the farm and the production on the land and all the technology that's gone into the seeds and equipment that you buy, you do a lot more work than you did back then without any real physical labor. As I'll tell you again, I can't think of anything that we do that involves any hand labor. You know, back then you had to handle salvage by hand, the hay by hand, move the logs by hand, clean the barn by hand, and all that. Where today, if it isn't done with a skid steer, it don't get done. But I think that's probably the two or three biggest changes. And has happened in factories and everything else around the country. Yeah. And machinery has changed considerably. Yeah. You have tractors with air conditioning now, and heat in the wintertime, and cabs on, and well, you would with that, but we don't grow, we have chickens anymore. Unless you have, my grandson has a few, but back then people used to live on egg money. They went to the groceries and bought groceries with their egg money. Or took the eggs in and swapped them for food back then. They did that back then too, early days. But we don't have hogs anymore on the farm. You know, we're just like the city guys, buy all our food that we produce in the grocery store. So, of course, grocery stores have changed too over time. We don't have the local stores. We have big behemoth stores with everything under the sun. But I think probably the biggest change has been the amount of the production per person with the labor has gone up significantly in that amount of time. And there's fewer and fewer farmers today, too. So, and the demand is still there for the food, so it's got to be done somehow. And if there's a way to do it and make some money, and the farmer will figure it out. Yeah. And but that's pretty much, I think, the change. I don't know if you got a handle on that or not, but
do you still grow your own hay in the fields?
Yeah, we use today. Today we use like a round baler that makes round bales. Mm-hmm. And then we pick them up with a machine to pick them up, and we put them in what you call another machine that wraps them in plastic, so you don't have to put them in the silos anymore. And then it takes it out of that plastic wrap and puts it in a machine that grinds it up, and you mix all the hay and the corn silage and the grain and the protein and the energy and whatever minerals you want into this mixer, and it mixes. It's like a smorgasbord, I call it. But you put it in this mixer and mix it all up and feed all the cows. And the cow, we have a nutritionist that, and we check our nutrition for the cattle actually get fed better than a lot of people do. Mm. Because you're after that production out of them the most efficient way. So you balance the corn and the silage and the grains you put in. And I think he's got it set at 90 pounds a cow of milk. And then every time a cow grabs that to eat, she gets the full amount of, she gets the feed that she needs to produce that amount of milk. And we're back years ago, used to all, each cow got fed individually. And each cow would get, one cow maybe get 2 pounds of grain, the next one would get 15 pounds of grain, depending on how much milk she was given. But now they're all fed the same. And cows actually, they adjust themselves to it. So if you feed for an 80-pound ration, a cow will give it 140 pounds, maybe. Where, and then you have cows that maybe give 60 pounds. I've had cows give as high as much as 180 pounds of milk a day. That's a lot. You know, but in the air, that's another big change that's happened over time, is mixing and feeding cattle. It's kind of almost like a chicken barn. Yeah.
Where do you see the business of farming, whether it's dairy farming or other forms of agriculture, going in the future?
Well, less than 5% of the people in the country produce food for this country, and that's unprecedented in the history of our country. And I'm for trading with the world. I'm for fair trade and not free trade. Because we, whether it's agriculture or anything, the only thing that we really have to trade in this country is food. It's corn and soybeans and wheat and milo and all that stuff on the world market. The rest of the things are hardware things, I call, like Microsoft. They can go get it produced in another country cheaper than we can. And in order for us to compete, we have to keep, farmers have to keep either growing bigger to put the same amount of dollars over more acres. How do I want to say that? The same amount of dollars per acre over more acres in order to make a living and pay the bills. Farming is getting so expensive today that it's almost impossible unless you marry it, inherit it, or win the lottery to get into it, because it's so expensive today. And the competition is not from other farmers, it's from outside investments that's come in and bought the land, whether it's somebody that's bought 50 acres, just to add 50 acres that lives in the village, and there it sets. Or, what I want to say, out west, they're getting corporations or company coming in and buying the land up. I think it's getting to the point where eventually the largest amount of production and food is going to be done, owned and operated by big corporations, because farms are getting so big now that to move it to the next generation, as I say, you got to inherit it or marry it or win the lottery, or you can't afford to get into it. And to me, that's not good. That's not a farmer. Farmer has to do, it's in his blood, and he has to do has to be his own. And there's too many things that I think that can go wrong that would affect it. I don't like it. But I'm still old school yet, I guess. I like the individualism, and in anything, I like small businesses. I know small business has been very successful, but it's the person, it's in his blood and in his system. I've seen a lot of them fail. You know, I can name your small business around here are doing well, but they're family owned, family operated. They put in a lot of hours. It's not a 9-to-5 job. It isn't. It's sometimes it's 6-to-10 job, or it depends on the time of year and what you're doing and what it is. But and the country is getting so involved with import exports, and these people that are doing the exports are making so much money that if they can import something from China cheaper than they can make it here, whether it's food or what it is, they're going to import it, you know, just because it's cheaper. I grew up after, that's why I say I grew up in a good time. I saw what happened in Europe when they didn't have, when they got to the point where they couldn't produce their own food. I didn't see it, but I was living at that time. And you hear talk and things that happen. And Europe protected their farms for years since the World War II, because they didn't have enough food to eat. Now, if you have to depend on your food coming from outside of this country, it's not a good thing. And if you go back in history and read that countries that's ended up failing have done away with their natural resources and their food part. And there's a book I read this 4 or 5 years ago about that, and they went through and told about way back in the beginning of the time, and a lot of these places was in the Pacific that they used up their natural resources that they had, timber and all that stuff to do it. And when they were gone, when you eliminate that, that affects a lot of other things, fish production or food production. It's kind of like a snowball effect, and it got to the point where they didn't have very good diets, and they just kind of exterminated themselves. I don't know if that'll happen to this country as far as we're concerned, but unless your food is all produced in the country that you live, your country I don't think lasts very long. Because then you're susceptible, whatever the person is. One thing, if you buy shrimp now, you got to be careful. You want to check where it's made. A lot of the shrimp comes from China. If you go in a price shopper, you go to a price shopper there, they go in their fish thing and look at where their shrimp is there, and just look on the label and tells where it comes from. A lot of it comes from China. Now, would you buy something that's grown in Chinese ponds or something, or what? And they recommend you actually not to eat it because of the bacteria that's been grown in it. But they still sell it here, and it's still coming in. But my point is, this is how you're susceptible to whatever they happen to grow. And if they're selling, if you think they're your buddy, forget it. They're not your buddy. You know, they're to make money and survive. And if they got a demand for that shrimp, if it happens to have a lot of bacteria and they got to get it out to the United States, they're going to say, well, we check it, all that. They don't check it when it comes in. It's impossible. You got so much stuff coming in here, it's impossible to do it. But I just don't like, you know what? You can go any place in this country and find something to eat. Every little dog patch down to big city and variety that you have. I do a lot of my grocery shopping stuff down Coppersville. Get on there. They got all kinds of food places down there. They have more in Cooperstown. Cooperstown is kind of a close-knit place over there, so they don't. And it's a tough business to be in, but I just don't like the way agriculture is going. My son, he buys a piece of machinery, and the times change and things change, but first year I farmed it, a piece of machinery cost more than what the income was on the first year we farmed it. My brother and I went in partnership. Well, that's how things have changed. But too many people are too far away from where food production comes from. They don't teach in school anymore. And they've done away with like homemaking in school. Now, you aren't supposed to say homemaking because that you get your throat cut by these. What do they call it now? Got another name for it. We used to do that down when I went to Cornell. Oh, you're in the homemaking school. Ah. But they don't teach anything about food production, or they don't teach anything about home living or doing a budget did they ever teach you anything about buying a car and how much it's going to cost you or anything? Everyday living type things. They think the only way you learn is, I guess, by experience, and a lot of times it's too late. But they've taken two things they've taken out of school. One is homemaking and shop. And girls took shop, too. Well, if they got to change the light bulb, they throw them out of the door. I don't know. But you know what I mean? Things around the home or things that you do with, you could do yourself, but they don't. They're always worried about science and technology, and that's not all bad either. That's good, too, but well, we haven't got time to teach it. Well, then let's add a half hour to the day. What would a half hour do to a school day if you went and took shop or something like that? You wouldn't even know it. Parents would be happy because there'd be another half hour in school and not put up with it. But you know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
Yeah. Everything's changed. It's changed. And that's the way things happen as the world evolves. It changes and changes.
I have one more question before we conclude. How have you been able to keep your farm sustainable over the long term?
Well, it's like running any business. You have to be financially astute and not overbuy, or you could overproduce. A lot of times you could move the product, but you kind of roll the market. And each year you do something a little different. It's like running just any business. It's a business is what it is. I don't know if you'd compare it to a teacher or not, but a teacher has to do any group of kids that come through is, each year, a group of kids is a little different. I got two girls that are school teachers, so I get it. But each group that comes through is a little different, so you have to adjust to what that particular group is. Now, my son and daughter, I had two girls and a boy. One, my son's class, but he was 1 year ahead of my youngest daughter. Wonderful class. Oh, the teacher loved them. They were good kids, smart kids, all that. Then along comes my daughter's class, and they were very competitive. A lot of smart kids in the class, and they've done well, very competitive. this little school up here, they did. I'm not bragging my kids up, I'm just telling you. I know what they were, but they were very competitive. Two different group of kids. So if you're a teacher, you've got to adjust, right? Well, just like being sustainable, you have to adjust to what weather has a big effect on what you're on agriculture. You have a dry year, or you have a wet year. You know, if you have a wet year, well, you hit that spot in the field that was wet and never dried out, so you drain it. Put in drain tile, drain it out. The next year it's dry, so you didn't need it, but eventually you do need it. It's something that's permanent. It is. If you have a dry year, or 1 year we had to pump water from the creek up, fill our pond in order to get through the winter with the water. It's just things that you do to try and be sustainable for the next, to keep going. Yeah. That's like a woman who runs a house. She's very sustainable. The house keeps going. She adjusts. And she has a good husband. That helps a lot, too. I think that's a bigger thing, adjusting to the times and doing things that helps you. So you can adjust and keep moving. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Is that over and out over with already?
Well, I think it's about an hour.
I got 70 years and I got it over with in an hour? Come on there.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I hope it helped out.